I'm so happy that I'm with my brothers and sisters, with folks I know and like. This morning I woke up very happy that I was coming to a day of mindfulness at my friend's house in the woods. And my expectation was that our brother and our teacher, Chan Wei, would be here and I'd get to see him and get to see all my friends around North America. And while we were meditating, I got a phone call that said that Chan Wei wasn't, from my husband, Gustavo said, Chan Wei just called and he can't hook up with the internet. And he says that he wants you to give the Dharma talk. So Antonio called and I said, Antonio, what is the topic or the Dharma talk today? And he said, just a minute, I'll look it up. So the topic is why meditate? So I can think of one good reason we could have a nice long meditation now would be so that you wouldn't have to listen to me make up this Dharma talk all of a sudden. So my expectations weren't met. I came with the expectation of receiving love from all over, from my friends all over the United States in Montreal. I came with the idea of receiving an inspirational talk from our teacher, but my expectations weren't met, and so therefore I'm suffering a little bit. Not too much, but a little bit of anxiety because I want you to be happy. So I think now that the best way to come to a Dharma talk, to come to a day of mindfulness, is without any expectations. That we come just open to whatever comes to us. Whether Chan Wei's here or we have to listen to some baby Dharma teacher, that we just come with our hearts open and see what happens. And if we do come to days of mindfulness like that, then we can be settled and easy. If we come into our friend's house and we see that space as a sacred place where we're welcome and loved, and we come in with that kind of peace, then the space becomes sacred. If we come in like the space is our friend's house and we come for a visit, then we get a nice visit, but we don't get that profound, that deep benefit. And then when we sit to meditate, Thay says that our cushions and our chairs are bodhisattvas. So if we come and arrange our cushions and our chairs knowing that we're arranging bodhisattvas, who are literally supporting our practice, then we sit in a more peaceful and calm way. We can settle into our bodhisattva friend. And then when we are listen to the bell, Thay says that the bell is the Buddha calling us. So if I listen to the bell, it says, Terry, I'm here for you. Are you here for me? Then the bell has a really deep, a more beneficial, profound even, aspect. And then when I close my eyes to meditate, if I come with the expectation that I'm going to clear my mind, that I'm going to be mindless, empty-headed, then I'm going to be disappointed because I'm not going to be mindless. My mind is going to be full of stuff, full of thoughts, full of feelings. So I don't expect, when I was first beginning, there's something with our computer. Maybe it's okay. When I first started meditating, that was my expectation, that I would clear my mind. And I would have no thoughts or feelings. And so for many years, I sat and struggled with getting rid of the thoughts. So if we come to a meditation with that expectation, we will be disappointed. But if we come and just let the thoughts come in and let the thoughts go out, then we're easier. Maybe it's easier. Although some of the thoughts don't just go, so we have to toss them away, Tyson. So why even sit there if all we're going to do is watch thoughts come or watch feelings come and let them go or throw them away? Why do that? Well, I know that scientists and doctors say that there is a physical benefit from meditating, that our blood pressure is lowered, our cholesterol, the bad cholesterol is lowered, our heart rate is lowered. I know that doctors use meditation now as medication for healing, especially people with heart disease. So we get that physical benefit. But we don't really come with that expectation when we sit on the cushion or in our chair either. That just kind of is a bonus. So we also relax when we meditate. It's relaxing. It's relaxing to be still, to calm our mind and calm our bodies, we relax. Well, we don't really come with that expectation either. It's also pleasant to just sit with our friends and not feel the need to direct conversation, entertain people, you know, do the social thing. So that's not really our expectation either. So seems like our expectation, there is no expectation. There is no goal. We sit to meditate without the goal of getting healthier, physically healthier, or without the goal of relaxing, or without the goal of being pleasant. We just come to sit, to stop our busyness, just to stop. And then later, after we stop, sometimes we want to we want to concentrate. We have this question or this issue, and we want to work with it. And so after we stop, then we concentrate on that issue. Like, for example, when just a few moments ago when I was told to give the Dharma talk today, my friend Gail invited the bell and we meditated, and I meditated on anxiety. I meditated on, is this possible? Can I be of benefit? Can I say anything of benefit to anybody? So I just, what came to me with my concentration was, don't have that expectation. Just to, you're sitting with your buddies. You're sitting with your friends. We can have a conversation about meditating. I'm so happy that we enter R, that you are in me, because then you're speaking here. The Thai is in me. So it's Thai speaking, not me, not me. So we come to our day of mindfulness without expectations. We come to our cushions without expectations. We come to our meditation without expectations. And then we have expectations. And then we let them go, or toss them away, or look at them deeply. Concentrate on them and say, what is that expectation about? Or go away expectation, like that. Thank you, friends. So then, when the bell is invited and we're asked to stand up, if we bring mindfulness to our standing up, then the standing up becomes a spiritual, a sacred action. If we stand up mindlessly, it becomes a ritual. Just like when we're sitting in meditation, somebody could come in our friend's house and see us sitting there, and they might say, "Ooh, these Buddhists look good. They're sitting looking really pretty sitting there. But we could be just as mindless as possible. We could just be sitting there looking good, like a good Buddhist, and doing nothing but talking, telling our stories. And then mind meditation becomes a ritual and worthless, and not, we might as well get up and have tea, coffee, go for a walk. And when we stand up, if we stand up mindfully, that's a sacred action. That's a meditation. Unless we do it mindlessly, and then it's just standing up. And then when we put our hands together, we bring our left hand to our right hand. Maybe our left hand is our heart and our right hand is our body. We bring our heart and body together. Or maybe our left hand is our mind and our heart. We bring those together, and we're mindful that we're bringing them together. Then that becomes sacred action. Otherwise, it's kind of silly. And then when we bow to our friends, that becomes a meditation if we do it with mindfulness. Maybe I have a little secret something inside my hand, and when I bow to you, I'm offering you what I have in my hand. You don't know what it is. It's a surprise. Maybe it's chocolate. It isn't chocolate. But it's gratitude. Gratitude, and I bow to you. If I bow to you mindlessly, it may look like I'm just being polite, or there's nothing to it. I think you're hello. Then that's not meditation. And Thay tells us we might as well not do it. If we just bow to be polite, or we bow to look Buddhist, we might as well not do it. Then when we start our walking meditation, we can just walk around the room with our friends and it'd be pleasant. But if we take an in-breath and realize that our left foot is on the floor, and then we take an out-breath and realize our right foot is on the floor, and that we are walking on earth, that becomes sacred action. That becomes meditation. I like Thay's story about, he made up this little fantasy story. So all of us who are here together today, we are in a spaceship and we've gone to the moon and we've done our scientific stuff and now it's time for us to come home. And Thay says that our spaceship won't start. You see, I'm starting it with a key. I'm trying to start this spaceship with a key and it won't start. And so there we are and we don't have much oxygen left. And what Thay says, what we want most in the world is to be able to do what you and I can do, and that is walking meditation, to walk on this earth, to kiss the earth with our feet. So Thay ends the story with a happy ending. They are able to start the, we are able to start the spaceship and come back to earth. We are able to be together and walk together on this earth. That is a sacred action. One of the brothers in our Sangha who has ALS is finding it harder and harder to walk. So we can walk for him. We can walk for our friends whose legs have been blown off in wars, or who have been in accidents or diseased and can't walk anymore. We can walk for Gail's sister who's in the hospital now. I can't walk. We can walk for her. It is a miracle that we can put one foot on the earth and then the next foot on the earth. And so walking meditation becomes a sacred action. And when we sit back down, on our bodhisattvas, embraced by our bodhisattvas of deep sitting. And we bring our mind and our heart together, and we bring it all together just to sit and see what comes up. And see what happens. If a lot happens, then we work with that. If not much happens, then we work with that. But, you know, it's work that's not struggling. It's not hard work. We just, the work, that, but it's definitely work. It's effort. When we're sitting, it looks like we're doing nothing. It looks like we're just sitting. But I know when I just sit and do nothing, I talk to myself or sing to myself. So I have to be diligent. I have to notice when I'm having a thought, notice when I'm letting it go. Notice when the thoughts become a whole long story, and then when I let the story go. I have to be sitting there, alert and diligent, or else I'm lost. That's really maybe the goal of meditation, is that we practice noticing what's going on in us and around us. We hear the sounds around us. We hear the sounds within us, our digestive sounds, our heart sounds, our story sounds, and let it go. It's just practice. Maybe that's it. Maybe that's why we meditate. Just so we can just practice noticing. And then once we get in the habit of noticing, then maybe when we're visiting with friends, or I know I was talking to AT&T last week. And so it's helpful when I'm talking to AT&T to notice what's going on in me and to notice what's going on with them. And then I can be with them better than if I'm just acting out of my habits. So maybe the reason we meditate is to practice noticing. Practice noticing what's going on in us and around us. Maybe meditation, the reason we meditate, is so that we can get in the habit of noticing. And I guess that's what mindfulness is, being in the habit of noticing. Noticing what we're eating, noticing when we're driving, noticing what are happening with our friends. Noticing if my belly's hurting. What does that belly hurting mean? That I'm angry? That I'm anxious? That I'm afraid? That I'm noticing. I'll tell you a story about a time when I did not notice. So Gustavo and I took his daughter, Sophia, to Mexico City. She had never been out of her hometown San Luis Potosí. And we were in a hotel, and my expectation was that we would get up early in the morning and go visit the museums in Mexico City. Sophia was 16. That was not her expectation. So the three of us woke up that morning, and I said in Spanish, Sophia, it's time to go. Let's go have breakfast, and then we'll go to the museums. And she had the remote control, and she flipped on the TV. And I felt a little twinge in my belly. And if I had developed the habit of noticing well enough and had noticed that that twinge was the beginning of irritation or annoyance or anger, if I had noticed that, then I could have handled myself a little better, but I didn't notice it. Or I noticed it, but I just didn't act on it. So for Sophia's watching SpongeBob. So I said, Sophia, we're not going to, we did not come to Mexico City to watch SpongeBob on television, the wicked stepmother. And I turned the remote off, and she covered her head with the sheets. Gustavo speaking sweetly to her, Sophia, come on. Now I'm feeling not only that little nudge in my belly, but I'm starting to talk to myself. That little twerp. We brought her all the way to Mexico City, and she's watching SpongeBob on TV. And if I had noticed that, if I had been in the habit of noticing what's going on in myself better, I could have stopped there and still been, it would have been, I could have handled the situation. But she yelled back at her father, who was speaking sweetly to her, this teenager, yelled something in Spanish back to her father, and I said in English, don't talk to your father like that. So now, if I had noticed that my anger was manifesting in words, out loud words, not just in my mind, maybe I still could have saved the situation. But I didn't. I noticed, but I didn't take action. So then I went over to her bed, and I pulled the sheets back. So I took action physically. And that, then, finally, I noticed what was going on in me. Way after it was helpful. And then I started crying, and she flipped SpongeBob back on TV, and Gustavo said, it's okay, and like that. I went outside and went for a walking meditation in the hall of the hotel. Well, then I was able to notice. So I think the point is that meditation helps us notice and hopefully notice early. As we get used to meditating, as we develop the habit more, then we get better at noticing earlier. Mm-hmm. And then are able to handle situations. Handle them in a way that's more, that's more beneficial for everybody. Maybe that's why we meditate. Doctors say we meditate because it's physically good for us. Our teacher tells us we meditate because we learn to be mindful. Mm. Yeah. Even even when we're having a lunch with each other, that can be a meditation, or it can be a ritual, an empty ritual. It seems like every action, we can choose to make it sacred. Every action, maybe, we can choose to make it sacred, or we can choose, or without making that choice to make it sacred, we are making the choice to do it mindlessly. And then when we catch ourselves, we can do it mindfully and get some benefit from it. One of the meditations that our teacher Chan Wei sent to us was the meditation on love. And I would like to offer that meditation to all of us now. So if Gail will, because we're not muted, Gail can offer the bell for us. If you'll remember that the bell is the Buddha calling to you, he doesn't just call to me. He's calling to you. So when you hear the sound of the bell, listen to the Buddha calling you back to your mindfulness. Feel the Bodhisattva holding you on your seat. And then I'll offer this metta meditation. So I'm going to put my heart together with my body, and I'm going to offer you deep gratitude. Breathing in, I am aware of my in-breath from the beginning of my breath to the end. Breathing out, I'm aware of my out-breath from the beginning of my breath to the end. In, out. May I be peaceful, happy, and light in my body and in my spirit. May I be safe and free from injury. May I be free from anger. May I be free from afflictions, fear, and may I be free from anxiety. May I learn to look at myself with the eyes of understanding and love. May I be able to recognize and touch the seeds of joy and happiness in myself. May I learn to identify and see the sources of anger, craving, and delusion in myself. May I learn to identify and see the sources of anger, craving, and delusion in myself. May I know how to nourish the seeds of joy in myself every day. May I be able to live fresh, solid, and free may I be free from attachment and aversion, but not be indifferent. Maybe we could all put our hands together. Decide what you want to offer each other. So, why I meditate is because I want to live aware that I'm living. I want to be aware that I'm alive. Thay wants us to have days of mindfulness. I think he would like us to have 365 days of mindfulness. But for OIs and aspirants, he says, well, would you try to have 50 days of mindfulness? Well, what our meditation is doing is we're training ourselves to have moments of mindfulness every day. Excuse me. To be aware of what's going on inside and around us. Well, precious friends, my friends in Omaha, Kansas City, and Miami, and my friends right here, off camera. My friends in Montreal, Pat, Colorado, my friends in Colorado. Thank you. I'm as disappointed as you are that we didn't get to hear from our teacher, our real teacher. And also, I'm happy to be with you and to have your openness and your flexibility. More than that, and your acceptance and embrace. So I have to tell you, my grandbaby, my Precious Perfect, it's what I call her. Her mom and daddy call her Shay, but I call her Precious Perfect. Precious Perfect went to one of our retreats, and Chan Wei was giving a Dharma talk. Precious was 16. So after the Dharma talk, I said, Precious, what did you think about that Dharma talk? And she said, Oma, Dharma talks are just common sense dragged out. So I'm not going to try to drag out this common sense. You know, I haven't said anything you don't already know. So I'm going to bow to you. Enjoy the rest of your day with your friends. May the time with your friends be sacred.